name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. A fresh kid Uganda, the Texas.
In Uganda at the moment, can you believe this? In 2019, there are witch doctors still practicing child sacrifice. It's a terrible story. If you're slightly squeamish, now's the time to get up and make that coffee and have a biscuit. Just every now and then, you hear about something, see something that just about takes your breath away, in the sense that you don't hold your breath, you just don't take in another one for a while because you just can't believe it. That happened to me only a few days ago when I was looking at some material about child sacrifice in Uganda, and I thought, give me a break, it's 2019. Believe me, it's still going on. And we're going to talk now to Peter Sewachiryanga. He's the executive director of Champezi Childcare Ministries in Uganda, and he's on the hunt for these terrible people that do these terrible things. Peter Sewachiryanga, welcome to Counterpoint.
It's great to be here.
Peter, I literally didn't take in the next breath for a while when I first learnt about not so much the work you do, but the work some terrible people who market themselves as witch doctors for healing undertake today in Uganda. Can you share that story with us?
Yeah, child sacrifice is real. It's not something that is a myth. It's a reality. And it's happening on a huge scale in Uganda and gradually expanding into other parts of Africa, especially the nearby countries like Tanzania and Kenya and some of those, but mainly in Uganda. And that's what I deal with my team in Uganda. Child sacrifice is a ritual mutilation, basically, of children, where children are kidnapped by so-called witch doctors, or people that practice witchcraft for mutilations. They kidnap the children, they cut their body parts, and most often facial features. It could be ears, it could be eyes are poked out, nose, tongues, and more often genitals are cut off for ritual practices. Unfortunately, there are few survivors compared to the number of kids that are attacked. Most of the children die, and part of the work that I do with my team is to go together with the police to investigate any case that has been found or that has been reported, whether the child has died or survived. And in most cases, we find the children dead. Their heads have been cut off and taken away, or part of their body parts, the head, the legs, the whatever the witch doctor thinks will be useful in their ritual practices, they take them and leave the children for dead. And that's very painful for us. It's something that we've been called to respond to urgently. The work that mainly we do is rescue the kids that are almost in the hands of those that would probably hurt them, get them from the shrines. We have undercover operations that we do to find those people that are doing that. For those that have been killed, we will work with the police to hunt down the witch doctors and make sure that are taken to court for justice. We help with the children who have been hurt and have survived, and some of the children I have brought here in Australia for surgery, including boys that needed genital reconstruction surgeries, including boys that had scar reconstructions. And then we follow those cases so that they go to court for prosecution and advocacy within the government and internationally to make this issue known.
Mm. Peter, you say it's common in Uganda and increasing, you say, spreading to other countries. That invites the question, is it an expansion of a past practice, or has this always been going on at this level?
There's freedom of worship, and there are people that believe in worshipping, you know, ancestral spirits and witchcraft practices, and that's freedom. But, you know, when it comes to demeaning the life of a child, then it becomes a human rights issue and that needs to be responded to. And so the witch doctors believe that when you sacrifice a child, you get wealth, you get protection, you get some form of blessing. And the form of desperation that people have because of poverty and disease, and they are people that claim to treat any form of disease or give wealth. And so they lie to their clients that when you sacrifice, you get wealth. And years before, 5 to 7 years, people used to sacrifice animals, goats and chickens. But now that sacrifice has evolved. And now they claim it is more powerful when you sacrifice, you know, the blood of a child or tissue and use that in witchcraft concoctions to get wealth. It's a lie.
And do we know how it evolved that people started to believe that instead of using goats or chickens, using young children was better? How did that start?
There are a couple of theories and also facts. One is recent reports that came from Tanzania where albino children were being sacrificed for the same. So the Tanzanian government cracked down on witch doctors who are doing that. They still do, but they did a national engagement. And some of witch doctors came to Uganda and marketed themselves that, you know, when you sacrifice a child, you get wealth. And that's one of them. Two, because most of these sacrifices are lies and, you know, people are manipulated through. And once people find out that, well, they have sacrificed enough chickens, they have sacrificed enough goats, and the witch doctors have taken so much money from their clients, there are two things they do. One, they tell you, look, we have sacrificed all and nothing has happened. The best way to do it is to sacrifice a child. And once they do that, both become murderers. The person who is seeking wealth pays the witch doctor to get a child. And so the witch doctor tries to stop that transaction because he's cheated you for so long and end it with the life of a child. And in that sense, you have nowhere to report that witch doctor because you are part of the murder and he's part of the murder. And so they close that transaction in that way. That's one of them. Two, there are some that 100% believe in it and they have grown up doing that and they convince you that, you know, that's the best way you can get rich. And unfortunately, sometimes they will tell you, go find a child, and they think that you're not going to get a child. And surprisingly, people will come back with the body parts or the head of a child or a live child for sacrifice. And it has evolved from killing of animals and chickens into killing children.
Are you telling me that the person who brings the child is the person seeking the wealth, or does the witch doctor go and kidnap a child?
It acts both ways. Most times they will tell you, you bring a child knowing that you won't be able to bring a child. And so they tell you, okay, for you, if you can't get a child, just pay us this much money. And once you give them the money, they will go and get the child. They give you a chance to go and get a child. And some people are brave enough, they will go and get a child.
Please tell me no one offers their own child.
Unfortunately, some of the cases we've worked on, we have a father just last year who kidnapped his own six-year-old son, worked with a witch doctor, and he sacrificed and he killed him. And he confessed, describes how he killed the child. He stepped on the head and stepped on the chest and got a knife, and he was able to cut the head of his own son. We arrested that father. 2 years ago, there was another man who kidnapped his 1.5-year-old son, took the child to the witch doctor, and they cut the head off, they cut the ears and the genitals and used them in witchcraft practices. He ran away for a year. We finally got him and he was sentenced to life in prison. Just last year in November, there was a mother. And this is one of the most painful cases I have ever worked on. A mother worked with a witch doctor and used a broken bottle to cut the head of her own 1-year-old child, drained blood and cut the stomach and took the guts out and killed the child. And there are so many cases where family members, parents are also involved. It has come to that level of injustice and pain And even thinking about that, a mother or a father could do that to their own child. And that's why we are crying out and say this is urgent, that needs to be dealt with immediately. It's a human rights issue, not a culture issue. It's unacceptable. It has evolved from religious practice to human rights.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned, I think, the father that went to jail. How many do go to jail that you catch? I mean, do any of them get off?
Yes, a number of them go off. Because this practice is done under such secrecy, it's very hard to catch those that are involved because they hide it. Unless there is a very coordinated effort to investigate these cases and a desire, an interest from the parties be to follow these cases, you can't catch them. So there must be a combination of scientific investigation, collaboration, and expertise, and the urgency. Because sometimes when a case happens, the community gathers and the scene of crime is compromised, and then you can't get the culprits. So we work with the police to respond immediately on these cases so we can be able to find. We have been investigating cases that happened 10 years ago. Like recently, we just arrested a witch doctor last month in May of sacrifice that happened in 2009. That's 10 years ago. And it's been hard to follow the case and arrest the suspects because the evidence was being compromised. Like, we find kids who are, you know, dead and you don't know who killed them. And those are the many. So whenever we have a chance to respond immediately, we do that. And most often nowadays, we are able to get the culprits and take them to court.
I'm talking with Peter Serachuriyanga. He's the executive director of the Champezi Childcare Ministries in Uganda. And it's a dreadful topic. It's about child sacrifice going on today. Peter, I know that you find some of the victims who survive and take them into care. And as you say, some have come to Australia for surgery to assist in their rehabilitation. But the kids who were taken, if they're not from the family who gave them up, can they go back to their own families?
We take children that have survived for a number of reasons. One, for medical care. Most of them have injuries, and if they are from far, even close, but far from where medical care is available,
yes,
we have the means to be able to give them the medical care and have safety. And also we bring them in for safety because most of them are the key witnesses to these cases. And once they stay in their community, as we do investigations, they are unsafe. They might be targeted by the suspects to kill evidence. And also for counseling purposes as we support the family. And so after we have helped with the counseling, with the medical support, we ascertain how long that's going to take. And if sometimes the court cases take long, we try to immediately reintegrate those children back into their community or their families when we feel that it is safe for them. And when the family feels that it's safe for them, too, we work along with the families and the children to reintegrate the children back into their homes or their families when we feel that the child is safe. And unfortunately, some of those children have been in the care for long because their cases have taken longer, or they have lifelong injuries that the families cannot be able to support them, or they would otherwise die when they go back into their communities.
Peter Serachuriyanga, Executive Director of the Champezi Childcare Ministries in Uganda, thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you.
If you think you can face it, on Dateline tomorrow night on SBS TV or on demand, you can see a documentary about this.